Glory to God. How's everybody doing tonight? Amen. Well, praise the Lord. It's a good night to be in church. I came because I was preaching, but no, I come every Sunday night. Hallelujah. No, it's always an honor to be in this pulpit. You know, I was thinking at the men's conference, we had Adrian Griffin was here. Adrian played in the NBA, and he's about 6'5 or over. And we just took 2 inches off this pulpit, not for guys like him, but for guys like me. So it doesn't hit me up here anymore. It hits down here. And I was looking at him, and he was like, man, he was leaning over it because he was towering over this pulpit. Praise the Lord. But it's always an honor to preach at Rhema Bible Church, the greatest church in the whole world. Amen. 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 It's because of you all. And of course, our great pastors, we thank God for these opportunities. Praise the Lord. I want to talk to you tonight about the power of seed. The power of seed. If you got your Bible, open up to Genesis chapter 8 for a moment. We'll start there. We're going to look at, Lord willing, 5 distinct things concerning seed, seed time and harvest. Genesis chapter 8, verse 22. Now, in context here, this is Noah. The waters have decreased, and they're out of the getting out of the boat after the flood. And God made this promise to Noah, verse 22. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. While the earth remains, evidently there is almost as if it were a lease on this earth, a time period on this earth. But as long as this earth remains, one of the principles of God that is going to be in operation is seed time and harvest. So I'd like to say it this way. Let's start with this tonight. Seed time and harvest is a fundamental principle of God's kingdom. How many of you know every kingdom has certain laws and principles that by which it operates? Every kingdom does. Doesn't matter. The kingdom of God's the same way. We're going to look at a few things in relationship with that tonight. But one of them here, he says, is seed time and harvest. As long as this earth remains, sowing seed and reaping the harvest. Sowing seed and reaping the harvest. We're going to look at it in a specific way tonight, but yet when it comes to the principles and laws of God, understand this, that many of them cross over into every aspect of our life. Seed time and harvest is one of those things. You know, sometimes in looking at your own life, first of all, examine your own life, but in talking to others, and sometimes when people come to you in your position like I am, and but having been in ministry for over 44 years now, people come to you and they say, I just don't know why things are happening. And it, to me, it's kind of obvious why it's happening, right? But all the times we don't always see that with ourselves, right? You know, you can't, like the saying, you can't see the forest for the trees because you got one big tree in front of you and that's all you see, and you don't realize there's a whole forest there. But many, many, many times, our answer is that seed has been sown. Amen. Seed has been sown, and we are living in the harvest of the seed that was sown. Look in Mark chapter 4. Mark, the 4th chapter. We're going to read this out of the King James Bible, then I want to read it out of the New Living Translation. Now, when I say King James Bible, I might take some these and thous out, all right? So you can't go buy this version anywhere. Verse 26, Mark 4, 26. Jesus says, so is the kingdom of God. In other words, he's going to say, here's how the kingdom of God operates. As if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, and he knows not how. For the earth brings forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he puts in the sickle, because the harvest is come. Let's stop there for a moment. You know, our backdrop here, we've got a we've got a wheat plant there, a wheat field. And every one of those kernels on there came from one kernel. That entire stalk came from one seed, and it produced, obviously, just from that we should realize that God's way of sowing is you're always going to reap more than you sow. So you see it here, but those, and you go back in Genesis chapter 1, we're not going to tonight, but sometime go back there and look what it talks about. God created the plants and that type, excuse me, and he said the seed is within it. Everything that God created that reproduces, the seed is already in it. Plants, animals, peoples. Okay? The seed is already there. Why? Because the kingdom of God operates as if a man would sow seed into the ground. The sowing of seed. Now let's pick up in verse 30, because he doubles down on his example of the seed. And he said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. Now remember, how many remember Pastor Craig's sermon where he got the little container of mustard seeds? And they're just really tiny. But when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all the herbs and shoots out great branches, so that the fowls of the birds of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. Little tiny seed, yet it grows a tree that birds can live in and sit on. But it's like the least. Sometimes I think, you know, just a thought as we to comment as we go along this study and with the scriptures. Sometimes we've got the impression that we've got to wait till we have a lot of seed before we can start planting. Hey, I got a real big revelation for you. You ready? You are where you are. You have what you have. In the Bible, we know there's so many of these scriptures, we realize we can't get to all of them in one sermon, but the Bible says God provides seed to the sower. Why? Because his kingdom operates according to seed, time, and harvest. What shall we liken the kingdom of God? How shall we compare it? The New Living Translation in verse 26 says, Jesus also said, the kingdom of God is like a farmer who scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, while he's asleep or awake, the seed sprouts and grows, but he does not understand how it happens. Pastor Craig's been talking about faith. You don't have to understand how it's going to happen. You just have to know it is. Now, we're supposed to get understanding, but sometimes we want understanding on stuff that is none of you. What does that mean? None of your business. How God does it, that's God's part. But you don't understand. You just plant the seed. The earth produces the crop on its own. First, the leaf blade pushes through, then the heads of the wheat are formed, and finally, the grain ripens. And as soon as the grain is ready, the farmer comes and harvests it with a sickle, for the harvest time has come. How can I describe the kingdom of God, he says. What story should I use to illustrate it? It's like a mustard seed planted in the ground. It is the smallest of all seeds, but it becomes the largest of all garden plants. It grows long branches, and birds can make nests in its shade. Why? Seed time and harvest is a fundamental principle of God's kingdom. Our second point is this: seed determines the harvest. Seed determines the harvest. Galatians chapter 6, please. Now I'm just going to say right off as we're going here, this is just an introductory message tonight on this subject. If the whole kingdom of God operates this way, you can't preach the whole kingdom of God in 30 minutes, right? So how many give me an extra 30? Got one over there. Okay, got one. Then got another 30 over here. Okay, hour and a half. Where we go? We got two. No, I'm joking. No, I wouldn't do that to the children's workers tonight. I always hear people say, go on, preacher, preach it. Okay, you get up in your seat, go relieve somebody in the children's ministry, and we'll let the preacher preach as long as he wants. Keep preaching, Brother Tad. That's really good stuff right there. Seed determines the harvest. Galatians 6, 7. King James says this. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. That's pretty straightforward, isn't it? Keep reading. He goes on and says some more about this. For he that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. Now, let me say this. If seed determines the harvest, if you're experiencing corruption in the natural realm, check up. Maybe there's some seed that got sown that you need to pray for crop failure. But he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Now, you know, sometimes people read that and they'll center up on sowing to the flesh, sowing to the flesh. It's not, but let's center up on sowing to the Spirit. Sowing spiritual things. And that'll come in here in just a moment when we get to number 3, but let me read this from the Passion Version. Verse 7, make no mistake about it, God will never be mocked, for what you plant will always be the very thing you harvest. Now, let me say this again tonight. I'm not talking about money tonight at all. All it does operate in that realm. We're not talking about that. We're going to talk about something specific that every one of us, because we've been created in the image of God, have the right to do. All right? Verse 8, the harvest you reap reveals the seed that was planted. If you plant the corrupt seeds of self, life into this natural realm, you can expect to experience a harvest of corruption. If you plant good seeds of spirit life, you will reap the beautiful fruits that grow from the everlasting life of the Spirit. And don't allow yourselves to be weary or disheartened in planting good seeds, for the season of reaping, what the wonderful harvest you planted is coming. So I like what he says, the harvest, here in verse 8, the harvest you reap reveals the seed that was planted. You want to know what's planted in any field? You drive by it, you know, after it's been planted, you can't tell. Unless it was a plant that got planted. But if it's a seed, you can't tell right off what's been planted. But just let it grow a little bit. And the harvest will reveal what seed was planted. Amen. See, and again, so go back to what I was saying. People don't understand sometimes why things are happening in their life. And really, all they're revealing is seed that was planted. And we're going to talk about two different ways seed gets planted in your life. And one of them, we have a choice. Well, we have choice on both of them, but we're going to look at that in a minute. But 2 Corinthians 9, just for a moment, let's look at this scripture. Because here again, this is not a negative that he's talking about in context of what Paul's talking about in 2 Corinthians 9. Is he is talking about this offering that they're going to receive. But since the harvest determines or reveals the seed that was sown, and so we said this, the seed determines the harvest. Look what it says in verse 6 of chapter 9, 2 Corinthians 9, 6. But this I say, he which sows sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which sows bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Now just in sheer numbers, a bountiful harvest reveals that the farmer planted lots of seed. I'm not talking about percentages. I'm just talking about in volume. Because sometimes we'll look at that and we'll see, if you sow sparingly. Now, the King James, the Amplified says, and grudgingly. I understand that. But sometimes what you have to sow and what your neighbor has to sow, it might be sparingly compared to your neighbor's, but that's not the issue. The issue is keep sowing. Keep sowing. Later on there in verse 10, he talks about God ministers seed or gives seed to the sower. But seed determines the harvest. Now, number 3, and this is what we're going to look at for the rest of our, the type of seed planting that I wanted to talk about tonight. Felt like it was the Lord wanted us to talk about. Seed is planted by our words. seed is planted by our words. Go back to Mark's gospel. Mark chapter 4, same chapter. We're going to back up a little bit from where we were. And you'll see maybe why Jesus was talking about what he did. He's talking about how the kingdom of God operates here. Mark chapter 4. We're going to read verse 13 and verse 14. Now, I will say this. I think you know, there, how many of you realize the scriptures are full. There's a lot of ways, a lot of things to get out of every scripture. My one revelation can't be all of it. Right? I tell students all the time, if I'm the only one preaching this or believes this, I got to stop and say, wait a minute, why me? How come just me believes this? How come I'm the only one that sees this? I'm probably missing it if I'm the only one. Because Peter said there's no private interpretation of the scripture. Okay? But here, look at this, because, you know, we're not going to read his explanation of the sower and the soil, but I think to me personally, this is my opinion. This won't get you in heaven, won't keep you out. You ready? It's my opinion. I'm going to let you know. I think the subject is not the soil that the seed's sown in. The subject is the seed is sown. It's the Word of God. What do you do with the Word of God? See, you determine how it functions in you by whether or not you get offended or, you know, or that type of stuff. But look what he said in verse 13. He said unto them, know you not this parable? How then will you know all parables? The sower sows the word. Listen to the New Living Translation. Jesus said, if you can't understand the meaning of this parable, how will you understand all other parables? The farmer plants seed by taking God's words to others. The sower sows the word. Words are divine seed. What makes you different from your pet dog? You're both breathing. Both got blood inside of you. You know, there's a lot of similarities. But the difference between the dog and me is I'm creating the image of God, and God speaks words, and he gave us the ability, mankind, male and female created he them. He gave mankind the ability to choose and to speak words. And the primary way that you and I are going to seed our life for the harvest that we desire, and we'll talk about that a little bit maybe, but is to speak the proper words. Words. So, putting a couple things together that we know, because we've been taught around here, most of us know this, that it's what we believe in our hearts and say with our mouth. Excuse me, that comes to pass. What we believe in our heart. Look at Mark chapter 11. I'm going to do something I don't think I've ever done. I'm not even going to read it or quote it from the King James Bible. Brother Hagin, forgive me. But Mark 11, 23, in the New Living Translation, listen to this. I tell you the truth, you can say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. But you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart. What we believe in our heart and say with our mouth will come to pass. Now look at Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. And we'll read this out of the New Living Translation. Romans 10, 9 and 10. The New Living Translation here says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by confessing with your mouth that you are saved. Now, would we all agree that to confess with my mouth, I have to speak words? We all agree that? But notice, there's two aspects here. It's believing and speaking. Believing and speaking. Now, we're probably, you know, well, I'll talk about me because I don't know you. But I'll go back to over 44 years ago when I got saved and came into this. Confession and words were a big deal. So much so that other people would help you. They thought they had the gift of confession police. And it was their job to rebuke every word spoken that was not in faith in their opinion. And they'd even rebuke you. You know, and people, you know, would say things. And I don't think we need to use, because we've got life in Christ, we don't need to use death to express ourselves. But there again, when somebody, especially somebody, you know, just coming in and saying, oh, that scared me to death. Or, you know, ooh, you know, don't, whatever. And they'd say stuff like this, I believe it's going to happen just like you said it. Well, thank you for your love. Person said something about dying and you said, I believe it's going to happen just like you said it. You better watch. They may not be that sanctified yet. You don't know about their past. You may be better learn how to duck. Little rope-a-dope or something, because that's laying hands suddenly on people language there. No, but we do need to watch what we say. Because we found this out. If you say it long enough, because you believe yourself before you believe anybody else, you say it long enough, you'll eventually believe it. You ever met those people that told a lie so long they believe it actually happened? They can't even, and they can pass a polygraph. Amen. Words are so important. The way, our point number three is seed is planted by your words. Now let's talk about number four, bad seed produces bad results. Look at Matthew chapter 12. Now I'm not going to mention, but how many of you know good seed produces good results? And I don't know why specifically go in this direction other than, and I don't have, you know, I'm not thinking about anybody's situation or anything that's come to my attention lately, but just thinking about seed time and harvest, and especially this idea of words that are spoken. I'll say this now, it goes with my next point, my last point. We are a product of the words we have spoken and the words that were, then the words spoken to us that we have believed and spoken. One of the things that grieves me more than anything is to hear a parent or a person in authority tell a child that they're this or they're that or they'll never do this or they'll never do that, you know. Now, some folks rise above that. Some folks, they'll say, well, I'll just hide and watch. I'll do it whether you say I can do it or not. There are some of those people, but not that many. Here in Matthew chapter 12, look at verse 33. Jesus speaking says, either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by his fruit. What's the fruit? That's the harvest. It says, oh, generation of vipers, how can you being evil speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And it is true. If you can listen to someone talk long enough, you find out what they believe. Or another way to say it, you'll find out what they're passionate about. You know, you can find out real quickly who, if their team's halfway decent this year, some people, who their favorite football team is. Because they can't shut up about it. Right? And then there are those people, it doesn't matter how bad their team is, they still can't quit talking about their team. Amen. He goes on to say this, a good man, now notice this, out of the good treasure of the heart brings forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words, your words, you shall be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned. Now again, in reading that, don't just center up, even though I'm talking about that bad words produce bad results, don't center up on the evil you know, about being condemned. How many of you realize then we can speak words that justify us? That's just not, don't get caught on the negative side of it, but yet we need to understand this. And I think this is what I hadn't listened. I heard, you know, the Holy Spirit will bring things to your remembrance, right? And I think I was thinking about some situations, and I heard Brother Hagin's voice, Kenneth E. Hagin, Pastor Hagin's father. I heard him. I could remember him telling us in class, and I remember hearing him talk about it. And I couldn't remember where it was, and so I sent the director of Raymond Nigeria, Tokes. Tokes has he calls it a photographic memory. If he's read it, he can remember it. And not only that, he can tell you what book it's in, what page it's on, and word for word what the quote was. So I sent Tokes, where did Brother Hagin talk about thus and so? And he sent this back to me. He said, on the single audio message words, Brother Hagin tells about a man who lay dying at 39. He relates that as he was about to minister to him, the Lord said, now this is what the Lord said to him. Words were spoken. Spiritual law was set in motion long ago, and it cannot be reversed at this moment. Release his spirit and let him go home. Now, what he didn't know at the time, later on he was told that this man, since the time he was 18, told everybody, I'll never live to be 40. I'll never live to be 40. I'll never live to be 40. And evidently, he believed it. And when it got that time, here he is dying. He's not even 40 yet. He's dying. Brother Hagin, they asked Brother Hagin to come to minister to him, and the Lord said, words have been spoken. And then notice this, how the Lord said that. Spiritual law was set in motion long ago. I got good news for you. In your individual life, you can change those things. You individually. But you can't always change it for others. And we wonder sometimes why things don't happen. And people say, well, evidently it wasn't God's will. God didn't say it's not my will to heal him. He said spiritual law has been set in motion long ago, and it cannot be reversed at this time. So what were those words? Bad seed. And it produced what? Bad results. And so finally, let's end with this tonight. Seed that has been sown, seed sown has produced the life we are living now. We are a product, as I said, of the words we have spoken and the words spoken to us that we have believed and spoken ourselves. So here's the good news. To change our tomorrow, we must sow the seed for the life we hope to have. Amen. I've gone to God. I've gone to him and said, Lord, you know, he'll bring things to your remembrance. Lord, I remember that. You know, Lord, I'm asking that just cease, that there be no life given to that whatsoever. But I speak. Now, how do you know how to speak words of life? Speak what God says about it. Speak what God says about it. Now look at Romans chapter 4. Why? Because remember, seed time and harvest is a spiritual law. God works the same way. He says it before he does it. He says it before it happens. When God sees something that needs life, he speaks life over it. Aren't you glad in Genesis chapter 1 there, when the Bible says darkness is upon the face of the deep, God's words weren't, boy, it really is dark out here today. No, what did God say? Let there be light. Because why? He wanted it to be light, not dark. Romans 4, verse 17. As it is written, King James says, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God. Now he's talking about Abram there. He was made Abraham, father of many nations. Before him, even God, who? Now, who's the who here? God, who quickens the dead. Quickens a fancy King James word that means make, gives life to. Excuse me. And calls those things which be not as though they were. Listen to this from the Amplified, which is now called the Amplified Classic Bible now. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. He was appointed our father in the sight of God in whom we believed. Speaking about Abraham being the father of our faith. Who gives life to the dead and speaks of non-existent things that he has foretold and promised as if they already existed. Now, how many of you have ever heard, or maybe you've said, but you've heard somebody say, you know, they've endeavored to pray the prayer of faith, Mark 11:24, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you have received them, not going to receive them, but have received them, and you shall have whatsoever things you desire. So when do I believe that I have it? When I pray. And then those same people will tell other people, I'm waiting for the manifestation. Then you don't believe you have it. I believe I receive. I'm waiting for the manifestation. I believe I receive. I'm waiting for the manifestation. I believe I receive. I'm waiting for the manifestation. You're speaking two opposite things. And in those situations, you're going to stay the same. You're going to have what you have right now in manifestation because you're waiting for it. See, it's not faith to say I'm waiting for the manifestation. What's it going to take for you to say what God says about you, that by Jesus' stripes you're healed? What's it going to take? You feel better? That's when you're going to wait? Is God's word only true when you feel it? Is it only true when you see it? My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You can say that when you got zero in the bank account and believe it. Because it's my needs being met are not according to my bank account, they're according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. My being healed has nothing to do with how I feel. Amen. You see, if I'm praying, if I'm limping along, I'm not waiting for the manifestation to start declaring, I'm healed in Jesus' name. I'm healed in Jesus. I don't care how I look. I don't care how I feel. Faith says I have it now. And in order to have it, I've got to call things that be not as though they were. What does that mean? Speak of what could be a future event as if it was present day reality. Use a sports analogy because that's what we do at Rhema. Even Mrs. Hagen uses sports analogies. She doesn't like sports. She likes her husband, so she likes, you know. We can say for sure that the Los Angeles Dodgers won the World Series. You cannot say for sure who's going to win it next year. Why? You don't have it. But God's word is a more sure word. If God said it, that's it. So if he says, you're healed, you're healed. I'm healed. You don't have to say another word, God. Speak the word only. My servant shall be healed, the man told Jesus. Jesus said, I've not seen such great faith, no, not in Israel. He didn't say, speak the word only, and my servant one day will get, no, he said, and he shall be healed. He will be. In the English language, that means right now. Speak the word, speak the word. Well, God gave us the ability to put words in our mouth and to speak the desired result. Amen? So if you don't like what you're experiencing today, you're going to have to start speaking words based on the word of God of what it is you desire to have. That's why it's so important to know what we have in Christ, right? Now think about Romans 10:9 again. If you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and confess him with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you shall be saved. Remember, we've talked about it before. That word saved is everything Jesus did. Or let's say it this way, everything God did through Jesus, through his death, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension and seating at the right hand of God, and everything. It includes, yes, being born again, but it includes safety, preservation, soundness of mind. It includes healing in your body. It includes all your needs being met. It's when you got saved, you got saved. How did you get that? By believing in your heart and saying it with your mouth. How are you going to partake of it? believe it in your heart and say it with your mouth. Seed time and harvest will not cease on this earth because it is a principle of God. God operates that way. Amen? Praise the Lord. Let's all stand up together. Amen. Glory to God. Let's just lift your hands and lift your voices to Him, thanking for His word. Father, we thank You tonight for Your word. We thank You for Your precious, mighty Holy Spirit who leads us and guides us into all truth. Father, help each and every one of us. Show us what we need. Show us in our own life, Father God, any areas that we need correction. Father, we do ask, Father, we do ask in all seriousness that there, if there's words that have been spoken, words that we've heard, even that others said that we believed and took to heart, that they're not of You, that they die, that they not produce any harvest, Father God. We're asking You, Father God, this the phrase You gave me is crop failure, Father God. Because now we speak words of life. Words of life. We're not going under, we're going over. We're not defeated, we're more than conquerors through Christ that loves us. Because we give thanks to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank You, Father God, that we win in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We thank You, Father. We thank You, Father. Give You glory and honor in this place tonight. Well, if you're here tonight and you need prayer for any reason, come on down here. The ladies over here to my right, your left, the men to my left and your right, they'll pray with you according to the Word of God. Why do we do that? Because that's where answers are found, in God's Word. They'll pray with you according to that, and you won't leave here like you came in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Tell somebody before you leave tonight, shake their hand and say, I'm going to sow seeds of life. And you can be dismissed. God bless you.